To the Time Warp Show. Hey, do you remember that song? It was from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's called "Let's Do the Time Warp Again." I think we're doing a time warp. Somehow, I wasn't able to do my show today. This is Patrick Slattery, temporarily filling in for Jeremy. I wasn't able to do my show today because of all sorts of stuff. And all of a sudden, Jeremy, we know he's ready to go, but we can't reach him. So I'm filling in for the time being. Now, William from Montana was going to be Jeremy's guest. And he was Jeremy's guest yesterday. And I was actually going to be the third wheel. And that might still happen. But so if our intrepid engineer can wrangle up William, same as yesterday, same William as yesterday, we will continue that show, because that was a really good show yesterday, a deep dive into Russia and Belarus. So if he can reach William, that would be good. Otherwise, at least in the meantime, we have to do our standard shilling. So we do our standard shilling first for RBN because we're seeing deplatforming like previously thought impossible. Previous at levels previously thought impossible. So we are not just seeing people getting kicked off of YouTube. That was the door shutting. Not just seeing people getting kicked off of Facebook and Twitter, and we're seeing a lot of that, by the way, lots and lots of that. MailChimp, you ever heard of MailChimp? It's a mail program. MailChimp kicked off the Virginia Tea Party, Northern Virginia Tea Party. You remember the Tea Party? Well, I guess it's still kind of a thing. And why? Because they used MailChimp to notify their members that there was going to be a rally in support of Donald Trump. And of course, Donald Trump, supporting Donald Trump, that's not what we are all about. That's not what defines us as a nation. Supporting the president is not what defines us as a nation. So deplatforming from MailChimp. Deplatforming from WordPress. I don't remember who got kicked off of WordPress, but when WordPress starts kicking people off, then a lot of websites are going to go down. So RBN isn't deplatforming anybody. And RBN, if you want RBN to stick around, go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, send shekels. And before I introduce William, also go to nationalbugle.com. I know this isn't my show, but I'm going to say it anyway. Co-certified. Co-certified is totally awesome. It is totally hetero, by the way, and it is totally not kosher certified. So go to co-certified and or go to nationalbugle.com, download the co-certified app. You'll be glad you did. And we have William from Montana. William, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. I was expecting Jeremy.
I'm filling in for Jeremy temporarily, and he had actually invited me to be the third wheel, and he's coming in. So, I listened to the show between you and Jeremy yesterday. It's fascinating. You always do a really good job, and as soon as Jeremy gets in, he'll take it over. But
Okay. All right.
here's just a real quick question for you. I
Yeah.
mean, I still got my fingers crossed that that the state legislatures are going to appoint electors and Donald Trump will retain the White House. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, Joe Biden becomes president on January 20th. Is Joe Biden the American Boris Yeltsin?
I would say that Joe Biden, I mean, he's already created problems in Europe, even on the subject that we were talking about last night. He's not only he's sort of lumped three other states together. Are not only is he down on Lukashenko's, participation and everything in Belarus, but he made a statement. This was last month, and then he reiterated the statement, and he called that not only Belarus is a tyrant, or the leaders of Belarus is a tyrant, but a totalitarian regime also includes Poland and Hungary. So, I mean, this
Wow.
is the, he's basically said anyone who doesn't toe the globalist line, both Hungary and Poland are in good standing in the European Union, and yet, here's Biden. If Biden gets in there, he's going to go and promote the whole globalist package and start saying that if you don't, deal with this, you're going to be considered the bad guys. So, I mean, that's something that is already beginning to happen, and I think that's that's something that really shows where this whole thing will go. It'll be a complete disaster, not only for the United States, but it'll be a complete disaster for anybody in the European Union, and especially Russia and any previous, you know, Soviet republics that are trying to maintain a degree of independence from Russia, but also wish to maintain an association with Russia. Mm-hmm. So all of these things are, you know, just flying in our face, even before, you know, the Electoral College has voted. I mean, he's acting already like a president.
Well, it seems that we do have Jeremy now. So, Jeremy, are you there?
I know. I'm here. Thanks.
Okay. Well, we'll pass the baton on to you then.
Well, thanks for filling in due to the technical difficulties, and appreciate you guys being on the show. But yeah, William, we were just talking, you know, last night on the show. We had a really good show. I listened to it again today. And one of the things that we ended with was, you know, what did Putin put in place when he is eventually gone? And you were talking about how he had transferred power to the Duma, and how, you know, he had put these things in place for the Russia to carry on when he's gone. Maybe we could carry on with that, and then you can get on to what you wanted to talk about tonight.
Yeah, I think that, you know, as we were talking, I mean, I've actually tracked down some of the references of, you know, where these rumors came, that Putin was going to retire next year unexpectedly because of health reasons. And it's interesting that you can actually track it down to one or two people in Russia who don't have the best view of Putin. And so, you know, like I say, much of this, I believe, is wishful thinking. They would love, there are people in Russia, there's certainly people among the globalists and the neocons who are probably feeling their oats again with Biden barking like he's doing. They're basically saying, let's get back to the good old days when this was a unipolar world, when we had beaten the Russians. They were down for the count, and we were going to start the new American century, according to the neocons, was going to start dictating to the world how everything goes. And I think, you know, one of the things that happened, I think you remember we've talked about Viktor Orban, and just recently, I mean, he talked about, this is back in 2017, he said that it didn't take very much investigation to realize that many of the forces that were agitating in Hungary to overthrow Viktor Orban was the Soros, you know, open society, supposedly their university, that was starting to come into Hungary and have all these classes on racial theory, and, you know, promoting homosexuality and promoting education for kids in, young kids, that you have a choice. You know, it's not your biological, what you were born as, but you can, if you want to be a girl or you want to be a man, you are certainly able to do that. And this was being promoted by Soros, and Viktor Orban put his foot down and basically said, the legislature, when he won re-election just recently, I mean, he had two-thirds of the parliament. His party won two-thirds of the parliament, and he said, no, you are not going to be able to do that in Hungary. And then Hungary also put its foot down and said, no, we're not going to take immigrants. You know, even though the European Union was saying, well, you must. Every member of the European Union must take their fair share of immigrants. And Viktor Orban said, no, we know what this is all about. This is about trying to destroy our more homogeneous composition and all the beliefs that we hold, our Christian beliefs, our beliefs in the history of Hungary and the principles that we hold dear, and that we're not going to submit to this globalization. And just, I guess it was just a couple of days ago, Viktor Orban lost a case in the European Union courts saying that, no, you cannot do that. You cannot keep the university, supposedly Soros's university, out of Hungary, that you must let him back in, and you must agree to allow him to have these courses, which, you know, he's already said that one of the things that he, his university is specializing in is promoting women's rights, in quotes, and also promoting the rights of gay and lesbians to have full status in the society. And if you go and you look at some of the things that Putin has done recently and some of the, you know, reforms that were done in the Constitution, everybody said, well, he was reforming the Constitution so he could stay in there forever. But he was really reforming the Constitution to put a lot of these things in place. And one of the things that was promoted was that, yes, we in Russia feel that marriage shall be between a man and a woman. Putin said, I'm not going, while I'm here, I'm not going to allow on a birth certificate or a marriage certificate parent one and parent two. And, you know, this is something that is very, very much, you know, you see not only in Russia but in Hungary, and even in Poland in some respects, they're saying, no, we're not going to submit to this globalization. And Biden has already, some of the people that he has put on his, in quotes, transition team, you know, are, you know, worse than the neocons. And they are going, a couple of the people that have shown up are very much into this process of saying, we need to not only win this election, but we need to actually silence the opposition, because these Trump enablers have been reclassified as people who should not be allowed to re-enter the university, re-enter business, re-enter politics, because they are enablers of very bad stuff, and they should be punished. They should be identified. So that's very much what I think is going to happen if, as Patrick said, if the worst happens, and let's say that he does get in there, I think we need to start thinking about Plan B.
Well, Plan B indeed. Patrick, do you have a couple of words just before the break to add to that? And the music is coming on here soon.
Okay. One thing I just want to ask William really quickly is, was Joe Biden indicted by the Ukrainians today for bribery?
Not formally. I don't think so. This was brought up just, you know, a couple days ago by Viktor Orban, and he said, I want answers. I want answers on what happened, what Joe Biden was doing. He spent more time in the Ukraine than he was spending in rural America.
Well, that will get back from the break. Thanks for joining us tonight. We'll see you on the other side.
A world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Awake every morning and the cold winds cover me. All I've got's a ghost of what could be. If you could see the lights shine in front of me. If you can see the lights shine.
Welcome back to In Plain Sight with Jeremy from Kentucky. We had some technical difficulties due to my tremendous work schedule, and Patrick had a tremendous work schedule, and I know William has had some complications to get over, but we're all three here, and I appreciate both of you guys starting the show while I got online. That's the way life goes. But we're in a discussion of Russia and how it relates to the U.S. today. William, and you sent me a good email full of prep that I've just forwarded over to Patrick. And but I wanted to bring in Alexander Dugin into the conversation. William, you and I had a really good show on Dugin. It was a couple of years ago on RBN. And he sort of predicted the decline of the West and how the decline of the West and the West not being able to support NATO could result in Russia, you know, becoming a dominant force in the region. Not that it's not dominant now, but that, you know, the United States would decrease. Do you see that playing out? And can you comment on some of the work of Dugin and how he predicted this, sort of?
Well, I think that, you know, Dugin, as I said in my email, he's a very hard nut to crack, because his whole approach, I mean, when he came to the fore in Russia, this was when we did the show a couple years ago, he was being portrayed by analysts, political analysts in the West, as Putin's brain, because they said he was the most dangerous man, the most dangerous philosopher in the world. And that was because they didn't really understand what he was. He was appearing on a lot of shows in Russia. He was a professor at one of the universities, and he also taught at one of the military academies. And supposedly he had he had great influence over Putin. Now that was totally, I think, exaggerated, mainly because they were trying to figure out, how did, Russia was supposed to be down for the count. And what they were seeing was that Putin was back. He was back strong. He was integrating Russia. He was coming down hard on corruption in Russia. And Russia was back starting to redefine themselves, which there was a very, very hard period in the early 90s when, after the so-called collapse of the Soviet Union, people in, intellectual circles in Russia were trying to figure out, well, if we're not communist and we see the abject failure of Marxism, what do we do? Where do we find a new direction? And Dugin appeared on the scene, and he came up with a very interesting approach. Took a page out of a, I'm a geographer, and there was a geographer in England in 1905 who, by the name of Mackinder. And he was talking about how geography defines a lot of how a people identify with themselves. And what Dugin said was, we were trying to figure out, all this Marxism and all this capitalism is trying to define how people are and what they are based on economics. And Dugin said, actually, it's based on geography. And he talked about how the uniqueness, if you actually look at, Europe and Russia are contiguous as a landmass. And so Dugin was saying that if you want to understand who you are and who the Russians are, you have to see this as having a place. He talked about, the place, which is the physical structure, the physical layout of Russia. But he says that that has to be taken in consideration of the big ideas that have formed Russia during its very long history. And he said if you take those ideas, those things, and you blend them with an understanding of the unique geography, you will see that he called Russia and Europe combined the heartland. And he referred to the United States and England and India and some other countries as sort of the mercantile or the island.
I want to ask a question.
Yes.
So the heartland, was that Russia, you said Russia and Europe. Was it Russia in all of Europe or Russia and specifically Eastern Europe?
It was.
And we'll get to that question on the.
Yeah,
I'll
go into that.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you. so, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendovite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendovite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. And click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719 extension 3. 800-724-2719 extension 3.
Welcome back to the show, Endpoint Thought. Jeremy Kentucky joined by Patrick Slattery, the Cape Crusader, and William from Montana. Go ahead, Patrick. You were answering William's question as the break interrupted us.
No, I was asking the question about Harold Mackinder and his theory about the World Island or the Heartland. And I guess the World Island is Eurasia in general, and the Heartland, was that Russia and Europe, or was that Russia and specifically Eastern Europe?
Yeah, basically, you know, if you're talking about Alexander Dugin and Mackinder, you know, he took a page out of Mackinder's, geopolitics, and he said that there's a deep dualism, you know, when you're trying to understand this, between the civilization of land, the heartland, and the civilization of the sea. And he said that Mackinder's famous statement was, he who controls the heartland, he was thinking of Eastern Europe, he who controls the heartland is he, and he who controls the heartland controls the world. And because of this, you know, one of the things, and this whole concept by Mackinder was really studied. It wasn't so popular in the news and in the newspapers, and it was more of an esoteric understanding, but it was studied in a lot of military schools because they were trying to figure out this whole new concept of geopolitics in terms of a battle plan. And so you remember that when the West won the war and brought the Soviet Union to its knees, supposedly we were entering into a new world where there was a unipolar power, which was, according to the neocons, a new American century, that if we did win the Cold War, then we needed to be able, as the unipolar power, to basically enforce our will on the world. And in that perception, then this civilization of the sea, which is England, United States, all of the mercantile energies around that Atlanticism, as it was called, they were going to dictate to the world how all this happens. But with the reemergence of the Russian Federation, after Yeltsin and beginning with Putin and beyond, they were starting to see this heartland, this rise up again and have a power. And because of the vastness of this landmass, that was why they called it the heartland. If you see from Europe all the way to the Pacific Ocean, that whole area was defined as the heartland. And whoever controls that is going to control the world. That's what Dugin said following Mackinder's lead. But it's interesting that the way this has gone down is there was one thing that Mackinder warned, and this was what motivated a lot of people to respond in different ways, especially these military academies, not only in Russia, but also in England and in other places. They said the one thing you can't allow to happen is for Germany, this German-Austrian sort of element in Europe, to join forces with Russia. And they said if that happens, then you will see this power of the heartland be able to exert its force over the whole world, or at least be able to keep themselves free from being engulfed by the sea power. And that was, that was, some people say that that was one of the reasons why it was essential during World War II, World War I, to drive a stake, to drive a wedge between Russia and Germany ever getting together. At least that was what the whole heartland, description. And what Dugin did when he got a hold of this, he was trying to say, we need to understand how this can be used. It's not an economic description that defines what Russia is. It's a geopolitical or a geography, a description of the land that really defines. And then Dugin takes it to another level and says, but you also have to understand that there is a history, and there's also these very powerful concepts of what Russia is. And these ideas, based in history, based in religion, these ideas are very important in defining what the Russian people are. And from that was one of the things that he gained a lot of influence among the intelligentsia in Russia in the 90s because he was giving them something new. With, you know, they saw this abject failure of Marxism to supply a solution, and they were looking for another way to re-envision themselves and give themselves direction. And that's the function that Dugin. Now the Western analysts, when they looked at Dugin, they made it sound like he was a new Rasputin, and that he had completely taken over, that he was actually Putin's brain, they said. And so if you wanted to understand what Putin was, you had to understand what Dugin was. That was a little bit of a... That was a little bit of a reach. It's not like.
Go ahead. Are you saying that? Is it fair to say then that the great importance that some people in America or even in the alt-right, so to speak, put on Dugin, the Dugin's importance was overrated?
It was probably. Dugin is not easy to understand. I mean, I think he cuts deep. I think. You know, he, if you understand that he, you know, bases a lot of this on this sort of deeply religious understanding of the Russian people, that's something that was missed. A lot of nationalists think that Dugin was a Russian nationalist, but he was considered himself a traditionalist, which said that, you know, nationalism has its limits, because if you start thinking of that this is all about Russia taking over and dominating this whole continent and ruling the world, that's not what Dugin is saying. He said that would not be a good thing, that there is a multipolar quality to this large landmass. And so you have to be able to allow these other centers of people, which is a combination of not only geography, but also the ideas and history that are associated with different peoples. Because, you know, here he talks about his Eurasia movement. What are you going to say, you know, if you look at the continent of Russia? You know, you're going to have to understand that, you know, what do you do with these other areas like Iran and India and China? And so one of the things in calling Dugin like a Russian nationalist, he would be the first to say that's too limiting of a concept. So that you have to understand that there is a very dynamic quality to how people define themselves, and it has to be a multipolar world. You can't, if that he said that was the mistake of the fascist, the mistake of the Marxist, was that they felt that, you know, the international had to be for everyone, and that was one of the reasons why it failed. Does that help?
Something. Yeah, it did. It actually did. It clears up something for me that when I was listening to Richard Spencer years ago. Now, Spencer has recently gone off the rails, and not sure where he's going now. But early on, you know, Spencer was a huge alt-right figure, and he latched onto the works of Dugin. He and his ex-wife translated the works. And I think they were reading Dugin and his prediction that the neoliberal West would eventually fall. And of course, the Western media painted this as Dugin says he wants, you know, America to go down. I don't think it was that. I think it was more of a prediction that we just, it was an unsustainable path that the West was on, that they couldn't keep embracing these neoliberal ideas and function as a society, that it would splinter. And so I think key members of the alt-right picked up on that and sort of pushed it. Would you say that Dugin's predictions of the West were exactly that, just that he saw from the early 90s the way things were going and that the West would eventually fall, which would also mean the fall of support for NATO?
Well, I think he was basically saying we must resist this corrosive destruction of our way of life that the West continuously tries to export, you know, that they do not have, you know, they want to, you know, use this mercantile, you know, this shipping, this trade, this globalism to basically destroy and make us all homogenous and destroy all of the values, the deep values that a people need to define themselves. And he said, if we do not, you know, another misperception, I think, of Dugin is that he was calling for the destruction. This is one of the things that a lot of analysts in the West said, that he's calling for the destruction of the West. And, you know, he said, I am calling for stopping this corrosive elements that come in and destroy the family, destroy our basic beliefs, destroy our concept of sexuality. This is why I see that there is a lot of, you know, similarity. I mean, when you see Biden starting to jump up and down, I mean, he wants to go in and not only go after Russia and not only go after Belarus, but he wants to go after anyone who stands in the way of this globalization. You know, so he's going after Lithuania, he's going after, you know, Poland, he's going after Hungary, because they stood up to this corrosive, you know, energy, you know, and you know, what Viktor Orban and others have said was that if you, and this was something that Lukashenko said just a couple of days ago, he said, if you actually look at these forces that are, you know, causing all these protests, you know, in my country, you will see that, you know, Soros and outside forces are very much involved with this. And Lukashenko said, any color revolution makes a country weaker and its people poorer. They have no examples, or there is no examples of people having a better life after such unrest. And he said, many post-Soviet countries have woken up and realized that alternative integration projects see us only, you know, these color revolutions, see us only as donors of raw materials and cheap workforce and as markets for their non-essential goods. I think that, you know, I think that you just said that a few days ago, and that really spells out that this type of stuff, you know, that's happening in Belarus is the same type of stuff that we're going to be running into with a Biden presidency, because one of the things that's going to happen is that not only are they going to win at this whole idea that they're going to seek a healing? No, they're going to seek revenge, and they're going to try to make sure that these Trump enablers are identified, and one by one, we're going to be picked off where we won't even be able to voice our opinion as to what needs to happen to actually maintain what it means to be an American.
That's very well said. I mean, you know, I see this, the West's aggressive push to liberalize the entire world. I mean, Patrick and I, you may have heard, we call this global homo. It's the globalization, and it's almost like this push for this sexual revolution tier liberal reform in all of these other countries, specifically Muslim countries. And Trump seems to have stood up and been a wrench that was thrown in the works, that sort of grinded this whole thing to a halt. And I think that explains the entire push here with the hoax election to try to get rid of this man. Because here's a man who's a 1980s Democrat who just wants America back the way it was. You know, I'm not sure how much of the big picture he sees, even though I think he sees more than we think. And I can definitely see how they want him out of the way. And so I guess in the remaining minutes, Patrick, do you have something to respond to that, to them wanting to get rid of Trump as a means of pushing global homo, you know, on the East and on Russia?
So I am kind of obsessed with a comparison between okay, I guess we're coming up on the break.
That's the break, and you can answer that on the other side. Too much information tonight, but we're going to cover it on the Endpoint side.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite, a 7-herb combination made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Each herb was chosen for their abilities to help improve irregular heartbeats, chest pain, lower cholesterol, as well as normalize blood pressure and clean and strengthen arteries, plus much, much more. Doctors have taken people off of some or all of their pills just because they believe their patients got better while taking Extendivite. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
And we're back. You know, I made a mistake last week. I said this is the classiest show on RBN. It's the second classiest. I think that the National Intel Report is way classier, and we take second seat. But I'm holding the number two there. Patrick, you were listening, or you were answering William as I was listening. Yeah. Go ahead and continue on with that answer, and then kick it over to William, and then we'll probably have to end the show with that.
So I see a lot of similarities between the United States now and the Soviet Union in, say, 1990-91. And I was over there, not for particularly long periods of time, but I was over there in 1990 and 91, and I'm here now. And of course, there are differences. And before I asked about Biden being the Boris Yeltsin of America, and then, you know, it occurs to me, does that make Donald Trump the Mikhail Gorbachev of America? Because Mikhail Gorbachev, he could have just been a regular Soviet leader and, you know, held on to power for 20 years. He was young, but he tried to transform it and ultimately failed. I hope that that's not, well, I mean, ultimately failed, although Putin 10 years later takes over and finishes the job, maybe not the way exactly the way Gorbachev saw it, but Donald Trump, I've always said Trumpism was an effort to save the United States within the existing constitutional structure. And I hope he doesn't fail. But I was just throwing those out. What parallels do you see between United States today and the Soviet Union shortly before it broke up?
Well, I would say that more scary would be that Harris is the Gorbachev.
Harris?
Because I think you know, Biden's going to be out, you know, before he even, you know, ascends
to
the podium.
So is Harris the Gorbachev or is Harris the Yeltsin?
Yeah, like the Yeltsin who basically was basically the front guy for all the behind the scenes, you know, by the neocons, or not the neocons, but by the oligarchs, who basically had, Yeltsin was just window dressing while mm-hmm. they went about gutting and stealing the resources of the Russian people. And I think, you know, Harris is going to probably be the person that, you know, while she's making a lot of noise about finally a woman of color is here and you can all mm-hmm. look up to her, I think the fleecing of America is going to happen. I mean, you know, the Democratic Party is now in the hands of a bunch of rabid leftists who basically despise the working class. You know, they're championing
and white men in particular.
Yes, and they're championing just minorities of color.
And white children, yeah.
And the way they're going to ensure their dominance is they're going to open the floodgates for immigration. They're going to basically go after any red state and try to destroy them, and then they're going to try to prosecute Trump, and the rest of us will be silenced one after the other. So that's what I see happening. Thank you, guys.
A grim future indeed, and this is why this is the most important election ever. Not only will it secure the future of America, but the future of our election.
Well, because remember, the Russia came back weekend, too. So don't see this as a defeat.
Exactly. Good point, William. Thanks for joining us.
We'll see you tomorrow. We're still there, and we're being replaced. Sorry to be a bummer.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see you tomorrow night.
We ain't going to give up here in Montana, I'll tell you.
Good for you.
Nothing's going to stand in our way.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.